starting not this coming Monday, but the Monday after. It's a brand new morning show here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It is called Sportsnet's Starting Lineup with Brady and Price. And for the first time in over a calendar year, Greg Brady is back in the studio, and Elliot Price is from Montreal, and they are both here, and they are both present. Good afternoon.
Speaking of unexpected.
Hello, good to see you. Welcome.
It's been an incredibly long time.
You guys know each other?
Very intimately. Well, two and a half years we did. And how long? A year and a half in mornings and a year here.
We started, we worked together in basically September 1, 2013.
Yeah, I knew that.
It was funny because at that point I was very excited to come, much like you, very excited to come into a baseball market again, for you again, and for me for the first time. And that was, 2013 was the year that, it was the year from hell. Shai Davidi wrote a book on it. It was really bad. And
the book wasn't bad.
The book was fine. But a document.
The season was bad.
Season was bad. But I was so excited to be here that here they are 18 games under 500, and I'm just sitting front row for Anthony Ghost home runs all of September. I couldn't believe my luck. Anyway, that's when it started. And a year ago, Greg was, how do you say it, fired?
there were F words involved that week.
And now you're back.
Yeah.
And it's, hey, listen, it's been a whirlwind thing, but it's Brady and Price, host of Sportsnet Starting Lineup. It begins. I was going to do this next week with you guys, but I'm on holidays next week. And then Monday the 27th, it all begins. Okay, so we know Greg. We will reintroduce you to Greg.
What if I'm a different Greg than I was?
We will discuss all of that.
I think a lot of people are hoping for that.
What we don't know is who we don't know is Elliot Price. Yeah. We know Carey Price. We don't like him. We know David Price. We don't like him.
Vincent is,
But we don't know Elliot Price. You've been around for a long time. I know your buddies. No, it's true. It's true. You've been around in Montreal for a long time. You covered the Expos. Your buddies with Blair. I've been on your show. You tell me what we need to know about Elliot Price, the new morning show fixture in Toronto.
Let me see. I did 3 years in the Maritimes, 3 days in Regina, and a lifetime in Montreal.
What was wrong with Regina?
Oh man, it's a long story. The morning that I got there, I got a call from Montreal. I was out at a press conference for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Which press conference?
While I was, who knows, some was Farragelli, a coach, and he was, I don't know. I went, I walked from CJME, I walked to Taylor Field.
Arkell Truluck was signing? Yeah,
I walked to Taylor Field, and while I was out, Montreal called to bring me home.
Hmm. Oh, they must hate you in Regina.
Oh, my God.
Where,
I was there
was
3 days.
Was it 980?
The FM station was just starting up. It was CJME and Z99.
Okay.
Like they just got FM out there, it was a brand. You don't know. I mean,
It's all right.
Internet service is spotty.
So the guy that brought you into Regina and hired you and signed all your stuff, he must have been really
even
impressed.
Worse because when he called me, he said, look, we're not looking for somebody that's going to be out of here in a couple of months. We're looking for someone that's here long time. The last guy disappeared in the middle of the night. And I said, okay, I'm coming there to be what you want me to be, but there is one caveat. If Montreal calls, it's my hometown. I'm going home. And he went, all right. But he didn't expect that I would work 3 days and then go home.
So you're,
that's
you're,
what happened.
You're back in Toronto. The morning show on the Fan 590 is a, I consider it the big leagues, right? In terms of this country. Why you? Why now? What's the plan? You call them, they call you.
Yes. All yes. I think it's a perfect fit. What I know about sports is wasted in my hometown. I love baseball, I love basketball. We don't have either one of those.
You have Habs.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop there.
And they're interesting.
I know that this is the big leagues and it's a market that whatever, but you go do 40 minutes of Habs an hour for 4 hours a day.
No, thanks.
I'm just saying that's what we did. It's not easy.
He is Elliot Price. All right, so it's Brady and Price, Sportsnet starting lineup.
It's because it's alphabetical. You know that, right?
The world of the world of broadcasting is very much
younger versus older.
Let's be honest. They're not giving you guys that, like, it's arranged marriages. Like, it really is. That's the world. So what's the first? How are you? What's the dynamic here? Early.
I think the dynamic is that we have
when Brady and I started working together. Like, we had talked on the phone a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. I'd gone on your show in Calgary.
Yeah, but very brief, and then...
No, they were long segments. You were filling time at that point. And, but they were in the middle of the summer, and then, you were by yourself.
But then, bang, bang, it happens. You're here, you meet, and it's congratulations. Like, go to work and go do it. It's not always easy.
I won't go into details of who it was that and where it was and how we ended up together, but there were other possibilities. Okay?
So the chemistry was so undeniable with you two.
Yes. Exactly. And remains.
No.
And unfortunately, no one has had the opportunity to... No?
Well, how do you view this?
I had a year where it was very introspective, and you don't know how it's all going to end. So no matter what... Think of you coming Calgary to Toronto. You had another... I know. You had another big market that was wooing you, cooing at you, cooing and wooing.
Grand Prairie, Alberta, yes.
I thought it was for McMurray, but either way, so you know, people say, did you talk to X or talk to? I mean, you have to. You don't know how the end is going to go. So, you know, I always hope to. It's weird. I always hope to come back, but you don't know, and I don't know. Like, look at Ron McLean, right? Though he was with the company, that's a nice story for Ron to go back to working on Hockey Night in Canada, and you'll see him all through the playoffs and. It's okay. Broadcast stuff, you try stuff, and sometimes it... Listen, you were... When you came to Toronto, did you think, I'm pushing anybody out of the way? Or you go, no, I've done the time. I'm ready. You know, early 30s, it's a great... it's a great moment to sure. come and give it a go. And we were a three-man show for a week, and then we were like a two-man show right away. So it was right into the fire for kind of both of us, with a new partnership, is what I'm saying. And it takes time to build chemistry, and it takes time to build... you are talking, no question, and spending more time enclosed, forced with that person, more than you would a wife or girlfriend.
So I would have stopped him like by now.
This is things you'll have to learn.
I understand, yes, but yeah. It's your show. It's not my show.
That's correct. He could have stopped me anytime.
When it's our show.
So you mentioned Ron McLean, and it's interesting because Ron McLean is out as host of Hockey Night, and then he's back in at Hockey Night, and it's not, I don't mean this in an insulting way, it didn't blow the doors off anybody in terms of surprise. That's what Ron does, and he's great at it.
He stayed with the company though too, and did such a good job Sunday.
And Ron McLean, he owned it. Put it this way: I don't think anyone's overly surprised you're back in this chair. People know who Greg Brady is. It's Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You're right back where you were 2.5 years ago. Are you surprised?
Yes, but I'm not saying. Here's what. I'm glad we're having this kind of honest chat because we did this when we moved to 1 o'clock 2 years ago, and we said this is how it is, this is what we think, and chances are we're taking in the broadcast business, and we'll do our best to buy in. And I wrote it on Facebook last week. It was really I had tough days where I didn't necessarily buy in because I always wanted to be part. You mentioned the station, Andrew. Elliot's aware. It's a heritage station. Look at some of the people that have worked here, right? The John Derringers and the Pat Marstons, and obviously Bob. I mean, you lead into Bob. That's one of the things we were excited about, was leading into Bob.
When the station makes a personnel change, the Globe and Mail writes news articles on it. People follow along. It's a heritage station.
And rumors happen. Rumors, sure. Right? This guy might go here. That guy might go there. You got to get used to it.
It was a wild transition. Mm-hmm. We did the morning show, and you plan on being in that span for a long time. We moved to one, and yes, neither of us was happy about it. Neither of us
okay.
were. That's fact of the matter. Sometimes you are told where to go, and you know we were replaced by a show incredibly different from ours.
Yeah.
And
which was trying something new, and that's okay. And that's broadcasting.
And the business is cyclical. And now it's, you know, you two guys doing it. Well, I'll let you tell me. Maybe you have dating segments. I don't know. But I would assume you guys are doing a straight up sports type of show back in the morning at 590.
I would say that we have a wealth of knowledge in all of the sports that they play here. And we'll be funnier than you think we will be.
Yeah, it's not going to be a trip to the dentist. I think that's the one characterization is. We're going from funny to... a tax return.
That's and I don't Brady and Price, the two funniest guys no you'll ever hear. That's the that's don't
it's a funny tax return.
Some days on the show, Andrew and I would have the exact same sense of humor, and some days we'd look at each other and go, "That's not, you know, no, that's not." Also being accused of ripping off Seinfeld bits with the horses. I never saw that episode where the horses don't know.
Is it a different? Are people going to be surprised? Is it a different Greg Brady that patrolled the airwaves in Toronto for
ten years. You tell me
if I ask, you know, the guy that is a P1, right? Yeah. He listens to the station for 5 hours a day, and I say, give me 500 words, write me an essay on Greg Brady. Is a lot to say. He knows what Greg Brady.
Well, it's been a humbling. You're out of work, right? And it's a humbling experience. So you take stock of who you are and what you want to do the rest of the way. And I had the time and I suppose wherewithal to do it. And then you meet other people from other places and other stations. Here's the one thing: I did open up my mind to doing something besides radio, and I couldn't find anything I wanted to do. So I knew I wanted. I didn't feel radio was over. And if it happens in 5, 6, 8, 10 years, maybe it is. Maybe we know the industry's changed so much in just the last 2 or 3 years. We were having a conversation today. 20 years ago, people were predicting the death of AM radio. No one was predicting the death of newspapers.
No, but I mean, 20
or
years.
Magazines.
20 years ago, there weren't jobs like the one you have right now.
Well, there were starting to be 24-hour sports stations in 1997, yeah. I mean, the fans have been here 25 years.
Generally, back then, if you wanted to have a job in radio sports, you went out and covered a team, you came back, you did updates, you did when they called, you did when something happened.
Or your show was in the evening.
You did not have a full-time...
Which we've all done. Yep.
You did not have a full-time host's job, and those things are open to us now. I wish there were more. I mean, Sportsnet only here and in Calgary. I wish there were more across the country because... there need to be jobs for people like us because there's talented people out there who are not working.
I'm going to finish the answer too and say, I think you realize in mornings that people don't want to be beaten over the head with a club and raw emotion.
You never know what people are into.
It should be a bit lighter. There's a gimp in Pulp Fiction for on every street probably, but. But I think when you and I would do a show in the morning, I think sometimes sometimes I'd go home and I'd go, oh man, I really let him have it. And it got too much. And sometimes you might've said the same thing. Mm. And then at 1 o'clock, but we had more time to stretch out segments and you're not doing traffic. And, I know you want to do a lot more concert listings and ski conditions. And it was difficult to fit all that in the morning.
I can assure you.
Elliot and I won't like Mount St. Louis Moonstone. We're going to tell you how the slopes are every day.
I can tell you and assure you of one thing. Okay. Yeah. The moment I leave that studio, whatever it is I said to you...
Well, it's not personal. It never is.
Put it again. I'm going to play golf, all right?
That's what you say when you're about to get really personal.
No offense. I'm just saying. Look, I've been doing this for almost 40 years, all right? And I know guys, they go home...
I thought you were 40.
No. They go home it's like night and day. It's life and death, and it's not. It's sports. And while it's... while it means something while you're doing it, it's not life and death.
What's the biggest challenge coming from Montreal to Toronto? And you're going to get immersed right away. And it's an interesting time in Toronto sports. I want to talk about that with you guys because all the teams are relevant in different ways for the first time in forever. And this has been going on for, you know, about two years now.
Since you came.
Basically, Andrew, basically. I'm the good luck charm.
Maybe they took the Leafs next year, but everybody got good when Andrew did come.
So what are you most looking forward to? And what are you still, you know, what keeps you up at night?
The only thing that keeps me up at night has nothing to do with this job. I have two kids. I have a wife. They're back there. We have to sell a house. We have to buy a house. They have to finish school. We got to move everything down here after being there forever. No, he asked me the ups and downs.
There's real estate problems.
No one can see it.
As far as this is concerned, this is the high. This is everything. These are sports that I haven't been able to talk about, that I have knowledge of, that has been a waste. You feel like you're being buried alive when you have to do something and talk about something and be limited to whatever it is that market makes you limited to. And there's more. There's more to me than that. And I get the opportunity to tell people what I know. I've been watching
Blue
Jays.
You like curling.
I hate cricket. I don't curling. No, that's not happening. I like golf. But I defy anybody listening right now that has watched more Blue Jay games than I have in their lifetime.
We're getting a stare down between you guys right now.
I don't really care.
Andrew is pretty religious.
His 162 a year started.
I'm older than him.
I'm talking on a yearly basis.
He said of all time.
I watch every game.
If there's somebody that works here that does not watch 162, that's bad.
I'd say 99% then. 99% of the people listening right now. I defy you. I would go up against you.
Stop defying my listeners.
I can defy your listeners. They won't be our listeners. Well, maybe they will.
And listen, it was when you were telling me earlier today.
As long as I don't defile them. Defying is okay.
Andrew Elliott was telling me earlier today when he was in college and Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. It's one of those moments that you just
see.
Never forget.
It's not. Huh? Yeah. And you know, they started hitting. They started not taking table legs to the plate and made real bats.
I see what this dynamic is. Like I'm an amateur psychologist, but Brady, you're new.
Oh, are you?
You're new me.
Oh,
you are new me.
See
that?
There's just nonstop.
You were taking notes. Poking.
I see one veteran, experienced broadcaster that's seen it all, and I see a young upstart.
You never felt like an upstart.
A young upstart.
No. Anyway. You know, I don't think you felt like
we'll
an upstart.
We'll see. You can judge the chemistry and the wheelings and dealings for yourself. Sportsnet starting lineup with Brady and Price. It begins the Monday after next, which is February 27th. That will be the week of trade deadline. All right. So things are happening this week that you won't necessarily get to react to on the 27th.
Raptors, we're pretending to.
Raptors, Blue Jays, and Maple Leafs. Okay, so you've been, Greg, you've been in the market longer than I have, and this is a fascinating time in terms of Toronto sports. You have the Raptors, we have this conversation we have for a while, and right now it's different because right now they're really fighting it, but have they plateaued and what's the next step? The Maple Leafs, how good can it be? The Toronto Blue Jays, is this that? Where do they go? Do they go down or up from here in the transition year? What fascinates you the most?
Well, I mean, I think the Jays do because I think we'd understand if the Leafs fell short of the playoffs. They're probably about a 60% bet to make it right now, but Florida won last night. They're going to be nip and tuck. There's not going to be some 2014 collapse where they lose 12 of 14. But the Blue Jays, you know, you and I lived it in the fall doing shows in the afternoon. Like, those are pinch me moments where we were able to, yes, maybe we would have rather been the morning after the bat flip game, but we're doing a 1 o'clock show that's leading into the bat flip game and leading into ALCS games. And we're taking the subway down and going. And I don't want that to end. Nobody wants to see that end. It looks to me like clearly what Boston's division to lose. But everything else has splintered so much. The Tigers have pulled back on their money. The White Sox have given up. There's a lot. The Royals aren't a contender anymore to even make the playoffs. Everyone seems to think it's Boston's division, but Toronto looks like the obvious bet unless the Yankees have everything break their way. And they made a lot of smart. They knew when to quit chasing the ghost with the older players last year, and they had to wait for deals to run out, A-Rod to share, et cetera, et cetera. Don't you think it's the Jays and Yankees to make the wild card? And then you've got the Raptors, and I go, I don't know. They've never gone out and had a transaction like this to add to two All-Stars.
Right. Rudy Gay was an accident, but that was a big trade.
To trade him or acquire him?
To trade him.
Oh, well, yeah. You didn't know what Patrick Patterson
acquire him too, yeah.
I think the most fascinating thing is the Leafs and the opportunity to be here over the next couple of years as this team grows and moves towards what everybody hopes will be a parade. And they're certainly heading in the right direction. When you have the young players that they do now, and the opportunity to build around that over the next couple of years, they may not win a cup, but they certainly are at the forefront of other teams that look just like them over the last decade that went on to do just that.
There's a sense of inevitability with the Leafs.
I understand
and
that.
It's different. They'll thrill us until something happens or until they can't hack it.
Well, I hate to tell you.
It might not happen this year, but there is a sense of inevitability that they're going to be, at the very least, I mean, you're going to have teams that win playoff rounds consistently.
Yep, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it should be.
And it's
when
not
you're building. But the thing is, your Washingtons didn't win the cup and your San Jose's didn't win the cup and your St. Louis Blues didn't win the cup. Okay, sometimes you don't win the cup.
It doesn't always happen.
But at least as a fan, there's one thing you want more than anything else when the season starts. Do I have a chance? Do I have a chance to have a winner? And that's what they're going to have for the next little while.
And it's a young group.
And not just a team that's a winner because they're third place or they're second place, or they have a chance to win it all. They will have a chance to do that. Doesn't mean you're going to. It means you have a chance. And that way, the fun is over the 82 games. The fun is over the playoff games. The fun is watching the Blue Jays have a chance in the American League Championship. You didn't win it, but everybody else didn't play in those games. And as a fan, that's what you want. You want a chance that your team has a chance to win a championship. And the Maple Leafs, as they are constituted right now and going forward, will give their fans an opportunity to go through the seasons with that hope.
And it's a young group
Is
not like 99-04 here was veteran guys, and let's add more veterans, and now we got to trade for more veterans, and there weren't young players. There was no one under 25, you know, maybe a Mike Johnson or a Brad Boyes before they had to move him, where you go, where's the future coming from? It was all a lot of hired guns. It was a lot like, to me, it was a lot like the Jays were in 92 and 93, where, yeah, there were some homegrown guys, but you traded for Alomar, and you traded for Henderson, and you traded for Morris, signed Mollett, or signed Stewart. You've never seen this build. And Andrew, you and I talked about this a lot. What's a successful franchise? Are the San Jose Sharks really successful? Are the St. Louis Blues, look, they just fire Ken Hitchcock, and they always seem to be good, but they never give their fans that one moment. So I don't know. It depends how you define
success. Would you rather be San Jose or the Carolina Hurricanes? I know who I'd rather be.
I'd rather
be San Jose.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I agree with you.
But you did give them a cup once.
The thing about the Leafs in the cap era is that it's all about paper for performance. And you have to have your stars like Marner and Matthews, and they have to. They're going to outperform what they're getting paid, and that allows you to pay other people to come on in and do a job where they do what they're getting paid for. And before those guys start earning the kind of money that they are going to earn, hockey's a different sport because the young players can help drive.
The last time the Leafs were really relevant, there was no salary cap.
Right.
This is
Leaf money.
This is the tough one for me about the new NHL. It's because when Chicago won their first cup, as we all know, Kane and Taves were still on their ELCs. It almost makes me mad at the current state of the NHL because Marner and Matthews are so good that, yes, those guys are going to be locked into $6 to $8 million deals as soon as their entry levels are up. The best year to win, not that they don't have a chance after that, but the best year to win is 2 years from now.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's frustrating to have your management group build towards when those guys are 21. It doesn't seem fair.
But I'd say this.
Well, imagine being a Blackhawk fan and Sada's over there and Teravainen's over there, and they had to get rid of all. They built this team with all this young talent, and still it's even the young players that they couldn't hang on to. But they lost players year after year after year. Again, as I said, you got to. And you tied it up in the 2 years from now. That's the way it's going to work. Unfortunately, that's the get. Except if somehow, now you're not going to find other Marners and Matthews, but you need to find other young players then, because it keeps on rolling, as the Blackhawks did, they're going to be able to outperform their contracts. And so you've got to keep finding this talent.
You can never have enough prospects in your system.
100%.
Ever. Yep. You mentioned the Toronto Blue Jays. You're a baseball guy. We get a fresh voice in the market. I guess, for lack of a better term, this team, which has been, and again, I subscribe to the same theory, the chance. They were in the ALCS last 2 years.
Yep.
This Toronto Blue Jays team, they did not win the World Series last 2 years because of some significant flaw. You get in and you play and you see what happens, right? You might win, you might not, and they didn't.
I don't know that you if you make it to the championship series, it's not a significant flaw that you didn't make it to the World Series or win a championship.
Well, I mean, this is what I mean, because everybody, as they're racing towards the playoffs and they didn't win the division this year, they got in a wild card. Everyone's saying, this team won't do it because of this.
Well, then you say that and you get to...
Okay, but when you make the playoffs and when you win that wild card game and you win a DS and you get to the CS and you lose out, that is not a window for people to say, see, I told 100%. You. No, you were wrong.
Yeah,
they made
wrong.
The American League championship.
That's right.
That said, this is a pretty good team.
Yep.
For years, we clamored for meaningful September baseball, and I'm not saying you should be happy with that, but first and foremost, as a baseball organization, that's kind of goal number one. Get yourself into a playoff race. Stay healthy enough that you give yourself a chance at a playoff spot in September, October.
A perfect example.
I expect at least that.
I would think when you have the kind of pitching that they're going to roll out there every single day, that you should have pitching and defense.
Like
right,
these algorithms come out and say they 81 wins, 82 wins. I don't agree with those.
I thought it was closer to 84, 85. But anyway, I mean, that's going to be on the cusp of a wild card anyway, 84, 85. If you're 81, you could be 84.
84 doesn't get you.
It might be a lower amount this year, like I said, just because of the other teams dialing down. Your Detroits, your Kansas Cities, your the Angels. Like, there's a lot of teams that are just
pushed out of the mix. Well, the same thing happened in the National League last year. I mean, look at the Chicago Cubs. They were in a division of teams that sold out early, and they beat up on them. They ran up the wins against really bad baseball teams.
Which never happens.
Not that they weren't a good team.
It shouldn't happen in the AL East.
What's that?
It shouldn't happen in the AL East. Tampa should be a bit more of a punching bag than they've ever been. Baltimore, we were just talking today about Matt Wieters. Like, if Tampa lands Matt Wieters, does that change things by a couple
wins? It takes us right back to starting the season and saying, does my team have a chance? And the answer is yes, the Blue Jays have a chance. And that's what you hope for, right? You're going to start the season, and you look at what they have on paper right now, and they have a team that has a chance.
It was a really interesting – we've had a couple interesting off seasons, and this one was really interesting because there was so much – I mean, listen, it speaks to the passion. When everything's at its peak, I'll be really interested to see how the hockey city responds. But until we get there, all I can say is nothing gets people fired up like a baseball run in this city.
Well,
in this country.
Well, I'll tell you, 93 is the last time, and you were coming off – That was the first year for Pat Burns. That was beating Detroit in the first round, St. Louis in the second on the Gilmore goal in game one, and playing Gretzky in L.A. And you had a World Series defending champion team. So but think of everything's changed since then. The access to stuff, the internet, the Raptors didn't even exist. Like, you literally were splitting it down the middle among two teams that play games that could potentially play games in April. There's not even, heaven forbid, there's not even a soccer team. There's not even professional soccer to go to at a given time, let alone a defending MLS finalist. It'll be the most exciting spring. I don't know how it's not, and yet I sort of look at it like, say, having three prospects and going, the GM says to the assistant GM, who says to the head scout, one of these guys probably isn't going to work out. One of these five pitchers that we've got in AA, he'll blow his arm out. He won't be what we think he is. And I don't. Maybe there will be one disappointment, but I sure don't think there'll be three. I don't think the Jays start cold, the Leafs miss the playoffs, and the Raptors are gone in a six-game series to Atlanta.
God, I hope then we're not crying in our beer. I hope we're not playing that clip back in a couple of weeks.
There's lots of audio from this show where I've been proven quite wrong about
things
happening.
See what you did?
Happening.
You cursed them.
That would be worst-case scenario. I mean, I think for the Leafs anyway, this is a tough league. Like, people forget. This is a tough league, and they're doing something that we have not seen teams do. Six of their most 12 important players are rookies that are all going to play, not all of them, but most of them. Auston Matthews specifically is going to play more games already than he has at any point in his career. This isn't going to be an easy playoff spot to get. Now, I'm not saying the success or failure of the season relies on that playoff spot, because I think for a lot of people, they could lose every game the rest of the way. This has been a really encouraging...
There's no potential scapegoat for the Leafs if they miss.
No,
whereas
not really.
2 years ago, when we're doing three springs ago, everybody, right? Carlisle, Bernier getting hurt, the defense, Phaneuf, Kessel, you name it. It obviously wasn't a team or a coaching staff or a management group that the city got behind. But the Raptors, we already know what the scapegoat is.
Yes, we already know what the scapegoat is. Scapegoat is, they're obviously really young, and the defense isn't good enough. We know that already.
But they don't need a scapegoat. The bottom line is, this is win-win. No matter what happens with the Leafs list this year, unless someone significant gets a long-term injury, okay, this is win-win. Even if they don't make the playoffs, I know Leaf fans have been waiting forever to see their team in the playoffs. The bottom line is, they're going through playoffs right now. From now to the end of the season is experience for these guys of what it's going to be like to make the playoffs. And it'll be huge if they do, because going forward, they're going to need the playoff experience. But if they don't, they're not going to win the cup this year.
The criticism will be they're too young.
But it doesn't matter what the criticism is. The bottom line is, they're going forward, and this is all a positive experience, and they're heading in the right direction.
I know that.
Even if they don't make the playoffs, they probably will.
What people will say is, they lose 6 of 7, they lose the last spot to a Florida, and people will say they're too young. But you know what? That isn't a criticism of talent. It's not a criticism of character. It's not a criticism of coaching. The youth is the explanation. It's not an excuse. It's an actual explanation.
Elliot Price and Greg Brady. The 27th is the debut of the show. So not this coming Monday, but the week after. I hope all this time off has developed a quality product. I'm sure it has.
Now, will you come on with us? Will you come early?
It's much too early. It's much too early.
Live close.
It goes sweated.
We'll go to his house. We'll drag him out.
Do it live.
We'll toss some coffee down his throat, and that'll be it.
He loves coffee.
Oh. Sports is starting lineup.
Can have mine.
Brady and Price. If you like this last 20 minutes, you will love the morning show when it starts. Congratulations. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome to Toronto.
Merci.
Good to see you guys.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks.